Digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Our security police have completed their initial sweep of the capital city. 65 known members of the opposition have been arrested and are being questioned.
Have we learned anything? Were any of them working with my brother?
It's too early to tell.
Kylie, your father is a great man, but Fahad's betrayal has changed him.
What can we do?
President says you may be involved with his brother. He's ordered me to detain you.
I'll talk to him.
President Hassan's crackdown isn't just a response to the attempt on his life. There are unsecured nuclear materials in play. CTU is running an undercover operation to retrieve them as we speak.
I've got something. It's an NYPD evidence lockup. A local vice group just impounded 120,000. I help you do this, and you never call me again.
That's beautiful, man. Absolutely beautiful.
It's a cop. You're gonna have to slip past him.
I'm at the warehouse. Travis, him.
Kevin, stop him!
I hear there are materials for sale.
Talk straight. What materials?
Nuclear rods.
Nobody deals in nuclear rods. Nobody.
We have a problem.
Vladimir Latana knows about the fuel rods.
Come on, Vladimir. Push them harder. Somebody knows something.
No one knows. There's no one left to call.
Look, it's over. What is wrong with you?
Renee stabs Laitanen in the eye and then repeatedly in the chest.
Stop! Stop! They're Russian.
What are you doing?
I need to let them take me. When CTU gets here, you tell them to start tracking me from the air. These people are gonna lead us to everything we're looking for.
I'm unarmed. No shoes. We can do business.
Where's Jack?
The Russians took him. He said that you'd be monitoring him from the air.
We haven't seen anything.
Where is he?
Jack is hooded and hustled into a van.
The following takes place between 11 p.m. and 12 a.m.
Dana walks with studied calmness through CTU. Withdrawing into a side corridor, she pulls out her phone.
Yeah!
Where the hell are you?
Hey, Jimmy girl!
You said you would call me as soon as the two of you got clear.
I'm sorry, sweetheart, I forgot. We got caught up in celebrating our score.
Celebrate? You put a police officer in the hospital.
Hey, that wasn't me, that was Nick. Hey, look, why do you gotta focus on the negative? We're flush 120 grand. Why don't you just come down here, have a drink, celebrate with us? We're at a club in Jersey City called Starlight. All right, we'll work out your cut.
What cut? I don't want anything from you, Kevin. We're done. I want you to put my key in my mailbox and get the hell out of my life like you promised.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
What does that mean?
It's a sweet operation that we got going. You know, you getting the access codes and us pulling the jobs.
Wait. We had a deal, Kevin. You promised me I'd do this one thing for you, and then you leave me alone.
I know, and I meant that. All right, but things change, okay? But we can get rich off of this, Jenny.
You can't do this to me, Kevin.
Jenny, please.
Look, bitch, you bring this up to your neck. You want your boss, you want your boyfriend to find out you're not who you say you are. You're gonna be our golden goose, okay?
Nick hangs up, hands the phone back to Kevin, and goes back to his women and whiskey.
Dana? What are you doing? We've got a situation. You need to be on the floor. Dana?
I heard you. I will be right there.
Who's that on the phone just now?
That's none of your business.
Actually, it is. You start sneaking away to make phone calls or leave the office, making me cover for you. It becomes my business. Now, who was that? Kevin?
How the hell would you... Are you spying on me?
Look, you want to step out on your fiancé? It's fine with me. God knows I've got no love
for you. You have no idea what you are talking about. I am not cheating on Cole.
Okay, whatever you want to call it, you better start telling your boyfriend what's going on. Or I will. Now, come on. Our undercover operation just went south.
What's happened?
Jack Bauer was grabbed by an unknown group of armed Russians. We think they're the ones in control of nuclear rods.
Are we tracking them?
We can't.
They took Bauer through an underground access behind the building. Without aerial support, the best my people could do was track him to a drainage junction near Avenue Y and Ocean. They must have had a vehicle standing by. Jack's cell phone is trashed at the scene.
Well, there has to be something at the site to help us ID the vehicle. Tire treads, transmission fluid, oil residue.
No, there's nothing, sir. Trail's gone cold.
Well, what about Walker?
Did she get a good look at these people?
I don't know, sir. Frankly, she's pretty messed up right now. Blaming herself
for Jack's circumstances.
Well, she should. She crippled this operation when she murdered her contact. Without Vladimir Leitanin, we have no lead to finding Bauer or the nuclear materials. You get her back to CTU for debriefing. I want to know what the hell happened.
Yes, sir. You might want to consider running a psyche valve on her when we arrive.
Count on it. I was supposed to be coordinating with NSA monitoring chatter.
I know. Something came up. I had to take care of it.
What was so important?
It's my fault, Mr. Hastings. I asked Dana to recover a data log I accidentally deleted from archives. I didn't have clearance. I'm uplinking to NSA servers now.
All right. Just get on it. Roll back any chatter within the last 20 minutes. Right now, that's all we've got. Let me know if something turns up. I need to brief President Taylor.
Thank you. You can thank me by putting aside whatever it is that's bothering you and helping me find Jack. He's my friend and he's in trouble.
Dana sits down at her desk, chastened and fearful. Arlo casts her a look. 11:06, Bazaev stands in a kitchen, roughly chopping carrots. His men appear, leading Jack.
Take him down the hall. Where is Vladimir?
Dead.
So are his men. The Germans said they tried to rip him off.
Did he also say how he knows about the fuel rods?
The man shakes his head. Bazaev takes in this bad news. He methodically removes his apron and puts on his jacket. He walks through to a gloomy back room where Jack has been forced into a chair, his hands bound. Bazaev looms over him.
Who are you?
Ernst Mayr. I've been looking for you to make you an offer.
You know who I am?
No. All I know is that there's a very powerful man in the Russian syndicate who's been trafficking weapons-grade uranium, specifically U-235 fuel rods. After the nasty business with Leitanin, these men brought me here. So I'm just assuming you're that man.
Where did you get this information?
I represent a consortium of private interests. They intercepted communiques within the Islamic Republic.
From whom?
Farhad Hassan. Or someone in his camp. In either case, you're doing business with the wrong people.
And who are these people, the ones you work for?
I'm sure, as you can understand, I'm not at liberty to say.
Bazaev nods to his lieutenant, who punches Jack.
You should be less concerned about who I work for and more concerned about the deal that they're willing to offer you.
I'm not interested in your offer.
$250 million. Half of which is ready to be wired to you immediately. The other half you'll receive upon final acquisition of the fuel rods.
Bazaev, his expression skeptical, advances on Jack and yanks his head back by his hair.
You pose a very difficult problem for me. You show up out of nowhere, knowing far too much of my business, yet I've never heard of you.
You've never heard of me because I'm good at what I do.
What I'm concerned about is that you're a cop.
I just killed three people back at that garage. Vladimir Leitanin and I stabbed in the eye. You really think I'm a cop?
As a child, I saw KGB throw an entire family off the roof of a building. Two of them, small children. I know what cops are capable of. So I ask you again, who do you work for?
I'm sorry, I can't tell you that.
Dmitry, work on him until he's ready to tell us everything.
Look at that, smoke.
We can make a deal. We can still make a deal!
Bazaev, supremely unconcerned, walks back out into the kitchen. His son, Joseph, enters through the other door, looking thoughtful.
You have buried your brother's body.
Joseph pulls out a small crucifix on a long, fine chain, He places them in his father's palm.
So Leg's necklace. He gave it to him as confirmation.
You keep it. To remind you of him. I'm glad you're back. We may have a problem.
What is it?
There is a man down the hall. He claims to be an arms broker. He knows about the nuclear rods.
How could he?
He says there was a leak from Farhad's people. But I wonder.
Until I know for certain who and what this man is, I've stopped the transport of the rods. They've been redirected to a way station off the Wantow Parkway.
I'm sure Farhad can't be happy about that.
I haven't told him yet. Perhaps we should tell him together.
How long do you plan to hold him off?
That depends.
On what?
And how long it takes Dimitri to break this guy.
Jack is suspended by his wrists in the cellar.
Matrovitis, Bashli.
Dimitri wheels up a huge battery sprouting cables with crocodile clips.
Okay, Mr. Policeman.
I'm not a cop. I swear to you. Please don't do this.
Dimitri attaches one clip to Jack's ankle and holds up the other one.
Tell me what you know.
Dimitri jabs the other terminal into Jack's stab wound. Jack grimaces and twitches with the appalling pain. 11-11, end of part one. Part 2, 11:15, Hastings phones Taylor.
We are exhausting all efforts to ascertain who took Bauer and where. But until any progress is made, we just have to hope
that Jack can find some way of salvaging the operation on his end.
What even makes you think he's still alive?
Only the fact that he wasn't killed at the point of abduction.
Mr. Hastings, I need a realistic assessment. What are the odds of finding and securing these nuclear weapons within the next few hours?
I can't answer that, ma'am, but the longer we're out of touch with Bauer, the less likely our chances.
All right, Mr. Hastings, continue to coordinate with my office. I want updates every 30 minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
I just spoke to General Wazim. He's very worried. Your brother's crackdowns back home are intensifying. Everyone's being arrested. Our window of opportunity is closing.
And why didn't the general call me himself?
Perhaps he's losing confidence in your ability to complete our mission.
This is my mission. My plan!
Of course. But we're running out of time. If your brother dismantles our opposition forces, we will no longer be able to reconstitute our nuclear program.
He won't succeed.
At this rate, he will. How much longer must we wait for the delivery of the uranium?
Not long. The rod should be arriving to you within the hour. Have your men ready. I'll call you back. Yes, what is it?
There is a man downstairs who's shown up to outbid you for the fuel rods.
Is this some feeble attempt to renegotiate terms?
Not at all. This man Mir claims someone in your organization tipped him off to our deal.
That's not possible. He's lying.
At any rate, in light of his sudden appearance, I'm halting delivery of the rods for the time being.
What? You can't do that.
It's already done. I cannot take the risk that we may be exposed.
The longer you delay, the more time my brother has to crush his enemies. If he manages to purge everyone in the military who opposes him, the uranium is worthless to me.
That's your concern. Mine is to make certain this Mir is not a policeman. One of my men is interrogating him now.
That could take hours, even days.
Not days. I can promise you that.
You promised to assassinate my brother, too. Your failure to eliminate him has put me under enormous pressure. And now, because of your people's inability to maintain secrecy, you break our agreed timetable to suit your needs.
Don't speak to my father that way. We've honored every agreement we made with you and shed a lot of blood for it. My father's allowed you to stay here and hide from the feds at great personal risk to our family.
Tell them to put the gun down.
No. We're not taking any more of your demands. Throw him out of here. Let his own people shelter him if he thinks we're such fools. I'll drive him there myself if that's what it takes.
It would seem you have used up our hospitality here. Perhaps it's best you joined your men at the rendezvous point to wait for delivery.
And when will that be?
When I think it's safe. Not a moment before.
Farhad, a very small man, glares at the tall Joseph and walks out with what dignity he can salvage.
Make sure he gets where he's going.
Joseph nods and follows Farhad out of the room. Bazeev looks pensive. 11:19, Ortiz escorts Renee through the underground entrance to CTU. People turn to look as she passes. Dana looks up. Hastings lopes past and lobs a file onto her desk on his way to meet Renee and Ortiz.
Still got men back at the scene in case we missed something. In the meantime, I'll work out the aerial sweep protocols with Arlo.
What are you doing to find Jack?
Everything we can, Miss Walker. Come with me.
Have you checked all the traffic cams, subway routes? You have all this technology working for you. Comm surveillance, satellite tracking.
We're using everything at our disposal.
And how come you haven't found him yet? Why don't you have any leads?
The best lead we had is dead. I know about your suicide attempt. You should have been honest with me. Now, O'Brien will take your statement. I want to know every detail about every event leading up to the death of Vladimir Leitanin.
Renee, her eyes wide, turns away from Hastings. Chloe arrives.
When she's done, take her to medical. I've ordered a full psych evaluation.
Yes, sir.
Chloe gently approaches the fragile Renee in a side room.
Yeah, you can write your statement here.
Renee sits down at the desk, her expression pained.
Hastings blames me for what happened to Jack, and he's right.
No, he's not. He shouldn't have said that.
The only reason that Jack was even part of this operation was because of me. So whatever they're doing to him right now, it's because of me. I have to find him, Chloe.
Renee, I know how you must feel. Just take one thing at a time. You have to deal with what you did. Write your statement. I'll check back with you.
Renee stares distraught down at the table. Dana gets up from her desk and moves purposefully but reluctantly across the CTU ops floor.
Cole?
Hey.
Do you have some time? I need to talk to you.
Can I wait? I need to review these protocols before Arlo distributes them.
I've got it covered. Go talk to your girlfriend.
They walk away. Arlo casts an ironic leer at them as they go. They withdraw into a corridor.
What's up? You all right?
No, I'm not. I have a big problem, and it's the reason why I've been acting kind of weird the past few days.
Okay. Listen, if you're calling off the engagement, you couldn't have picked a worse day.
No. No, I would never do that.
Good. So what's bothering you?
There are things about my past that I haven't told you.
I'm listening. Hey, I'm sure I haven't told you everything about my past either. Because I don't care what happened before I met you. All that matters is now. And what we have to look forward to.
I think that's all that matters, too.
So what are you so worried about?
I don't want to lose you.
I'm not going anywhere.
Excuse me. Agent Ortiz, Mr. Hastings needs to see you in his office.
Tell him I'll be there as soon as I can.
No, go.
Hastings can wait.
So can this. Talking to you has helped. I think I know what I need to do now.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe later you tell me what this is all about.
As Ortiz walks away, Dana's smile swiftly fades and her face assumes a brooding air. She turns and walks away. Jack, his eyes closed, hangs in the cellar. Dimitri rips the dressing from his wound and jabs his thumb into it.
What do you work for? Who else knows about the fuel rods? Everybody has a limit. Don't worry. I'll find yours.
He picks up a crocodile clip.
You're working with the police. Admit it. Tell me the planes will stop. Who else knows?
This way. I'm not a cop. Please. I'm just a businessman. Please stop.
What do you work for?
I'm an independent contractor. I couldn't even tell you if I wanted. Please.
We'll see.
Dimitri applies the terminal at waist level. Jack seems to pass out.
Wake up. I said wake up.
Dimitri, irritated, goes over to a drawer and opens a small box marked ammonia inhalants. Jack opens his eyes and casts a sly glance across the room. As Dimitri returns, Jack's eyes close again. Jack uses his feet to get Dimitri in a scissors hold, forcing both the terminals onto his chest. The Russian grimaces and falls dead or unconscious. Jack's wrists are still tied to a pipe. He spots water dripping from a joint at the other end of the pipe. He raises his legs and crab walks along it. Kicks at the joint with his bare feet. 11:25, end of part two. At 11:30, Jack continues struggling with the pipe. The New York skyline twinkles. President Hassan intently reads files.
I told you I didn't want to be disturbed.
Your daughter is still demanding to see you, Mr. President. She refuses to leave.
Very well, send her in.
Kyla, stony-faced, walks past the guard and into the room.
Kyla, my love. I'm in the middle of a crisis, so unless it's an emergency...
It is an emergency. We need to talk about you having Taryn arrested.
Taryn is being taken to the embassy to help clarify a few questions. Strictly routine.
I know you believe he's been working against you. What I don't understand is why.
He refused to follow my orders.
You asked him to arrest the family of one of your delegates, a man you considered a friend.
Kyla, this is a matter of state. It doesn't concern you.
It doesn't make sense. Taryn was in the car with you. If the assassination attempt was successful, he would have been killed too.
The world is full of men willing to die for their cause. I know you consider Taryn a friend, and your loyalty is commendable. But trust me, I have my reasons.
We are more than friends. We're in love. And have been for almost a year.
Hassan turns portentously.
You've been carrying on with this man behind my back?
You say that to me after driving Mother away with your infidelity. Please, Father, don't let Uncle Farhad's betrayal turn you against everyone who cares about you.
I can't think of a better way to completely infiltrate my life and influence my judgment than getting close to my daughter.
It's not like that.
You're not to see that man again, ever.
Father.
I'm done with this conversation. I need to get back to my work.
What's happening to you?
Kyla gazes reproachfully at her father, who has returned to his work. She walks out, leaving him staring distractedly and almost tearfully into the distance. Jack still struggles with the pipe. He spots that Dimitri is coming round. Unable to break the joint with his feet, he hangs down and uses his weight and the rope around his wrists to yank downwards. Dimitri is nearly fully awake again. Jack succeeds in breaking the joint and crashes to the floor. Dimitri comes at him with a dagger. Jack gets him down and breaks his right arm. He gets Dimitri in a stranglehold and finally manages to break the man's neck. Taking the dagger, he cuts the ropes binding his wrists and ankles. He bends down and takes Dimitri's pistol. Glancing back towards the door, he then rifles Dimitri's pockets and pulls out a mobile phone. He opens it and dials. Giving up on the seemingly dead phone, Jack pulls the pistol and advances cautiously out through the door.
Satisfied the German is telling the truth. I'm going to want to hand over the rods to Farhad tonight.
Jack, cornered in the cellar, spots an electrical fuse box. Bazeev heads up the stairs, leaving two of his men in the kitchen.
Keep your men out of sight, along the perimeter. Mikhail and his man will stay with the cargo.
The restaurant is plunged into darkness.
Check to see if the rest of the street lost power.
Just us.
It's Mir. Cover the exits.
What? The problem?
Check the fuse box.
Okay.
A man moves very cautiously through the darkened kitchen, shining a flashlight into all the corners he passes. He holds an automatic weapon at the ready. Nearing the fuse box, he peers around a corner and shines his torch. He approaches the fuse box. Jack leaps down from the ceiling. He plunges the dagger into the man's heart. He rifles the man's pockets and pulls out his mobile phone. At CTU, Chloe takes the call.
CTU, O'Brien.
Chloe, it's Jack.
Jack, everyone's been looking for you. Where are you?
I need you to trace this call and send a tech to you immediately.
Jack?
Chloe, just trace the call.
Jack!
Jack places the live phone onto a shelf. He moves carefully through the kitchen. He makes for the red exit sign and starts up the stairs. Emerging into the serving area, he spots two of Bazeev's henchmen talking on the other side of a pair of glass-paneled swing doors. He shoots them, only to find himself under fire from Bazeev, who wields a fearsomely powerful pump-action shotgun. Jack makes it into the dining room, where he picks up a machine gun. Jack rolls across a restaurant table and takes refuge beneath it. Bazeev stalks among the tables. Appearing to think he may have hit Jack, he slowly bends down to inspect. Jack launches the table upwards, knocking Bazeev off his feet and crushing him under its weight. Jack pulls the table aside to find Bazeev lying with his eyes closed. He feels for a pulse in the man's neck. He then crumples into a sitting position. 11:37. 11:41. At CTU, Hastings talks to Ortiz.
We're sure NYPD's got the perimeter locked down.
The restaurant and everything in a block radius is secure. Our response team will be there soon.
Where's Dana?
She logged out of the building about 15 minutes ago. Something about fixing a faulty relay at our 17th Street station.
Why didn't she just have IP maintenance take care of it?
Good question. She had to manually reboot the firmware herself. That's what she said, anyway.
Where are we with this man, Bazeev?
It's coming through right now. I've cross-accessed interagency servers, also Interpol and FSB. I'm relaying intel as it comes into our response team and to Jack.
Good. Put it up on screen. Okay, people. We've ID'd the suspect we have in custody. His name is Sergei Petrovich Bazayev, Ukrainian national, 61 years of age. Now, we believe he knows the location of the unsecured nuclear rods. The tactical is on its way to transport him back here for interrogation. Agent Ortiz will coordinate operations from here.
Ortiz heads off to do Hastings' bidding, glaring at Arlo as he goes. Chloe gets up to meet Renee, who hurries down onto the ops floor.
Is it true? You found Jack?
Yeah, he's okay. If you're finished with your statement, I need to take you to medical.
No, I want to be here when Jack gets back.
I'll let him know where to find you. Come on.
Mr. Bauer, we should hold you for now. You shouldn't have to go to the hospital.
Okay. Excuse me, so they uploaded a suspect's file right now.
Jack takes the PDA and looks at Bazayev's file.
How far out is he to you?
We're about 5 minutes out.
It's all right, I got it. Thanks.
Jack stands, having had his wounds dressed, and gives his full attention to the file. He glances across to where Bazayev is being tended to. Something in the file seems to catch his eye.
Sergeant, I need to speak with this man alone.
The officers withdraw, leaving Bazayev sitting alone and staring balefully at the floor. Jack pulls up a chair and sits next to him.
I knew you were a cop. I should have trusted my instincts and killed you on the spot.
Oh, you can add it to your list of regrets. CTU's already acquired a great deal of intel on you, Mr. Bazayev. It's over, you know that, right? You're finished. I mean, at the very least, we've got you on kidnapping and murder, and that's before CTU rips this place apart and uncovers the rest of your criminal activity. Lucky for you, though, I'm only interested in one thing, and that's the acquisition of those fuel rods. So, if you were to cooperate, help me out there, that would go a long way to reducing what is clearly going to be a very long prison sentence. That offer extends to both of your sons, too. Joseph and Oleg.
Oleg is dead. He was exposed to the rods. Became ill with radiation poisoning. He was suffering. And I shot him. As if he was just a sick dog. I murdered my own son. For nothing.
Jack watches the weeping Bazayev with compassion. The Ukrainian fixes Jack with a hard stare.
You want to know where the rods are? I will tell you. But I want full immunity. Not just for me, but for my other son, Joseph.
I don't think I can make that happen.
And we have nothing to talk about.
Bazayev looks stonily away. Jack continues looking at him in profile, seemingly deep in thought.
I'll see what I can do.
Jack phones out. 11:46, Chloe takes the call.
CTU, O'Brien.
Chloe, it's Jack. I need to speak with Hastings.
I think he's in the middle of a briefing with President Taylor.
Even better. See if you can patch me in, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Hastings, it's Farhad Hassan I'm worried about. How do we know he hasn't acquired the rods already?
Based on the intel we have, the transfer hasn't taken place yet.
Madam President, excuse the interruption. Jack Bauer's on the line. He wishes to be conferenced in.
Put him through. Jack, it's President Taylor. You're on with Mr. Hastings and my chief of staff. CTU's been keeping me apprised of your involvement in this. I'm sorry that it's taken this long for us to speak.
I understand, and please forgive me for getting straight to the point, but the man that we have in custody, Sergei Bazayev, is willing to cooperate. He said he would hand over the fuel rods in exchange for full immunity for him and his son.
Is that all? Why don't we give him a parade down Broadway, too?
Jack, you've been dealing with this man. Is there no other way to get the location of the nuclear materials out of him?
It says in his files that he did 12 years in a Russian labor camp. In the time frame that we have, we're not going to break him, Madam President. I can see it in his eyes.
Mr. Hastings, what is your assessment?
Well, at first blush, I'd say an immunity deal is premature, but under the circumstances, I'll defer to Jack's judgment on this.
Gentlemen, I have a peace deal that's going to fall apart at any moment unless I can show President Hassan that we have stopped his brother from smuggling those fuel rods out of the country. Make the deal, Jack.
Madam President, he's going to want this in writing.
He'll get it. But in the interest of expediency, put him on the phone with me.
Yes, ma'am.
Jack crosses to Bazaev with the phone.
The President of the United States wants to talk to you.
Bazaev looks up, his eyes widening as if he realizes how far he has underestimated Jack. Ortiz walks across the CTU ops floor towards where Arlo sits at his workstation.
You want to tell me what's going on?
What are you talking about?
You were implying something about Dana, and I want to know what it is.
When she came over before and said she had to talk to you, what did she tell you?
Nothing. She said she had a problem, but she'd handle it.
That's it?
Arlo, if you know something...
Okay, look. It's none of my business, and I didn't want to be the one to tell you this. But I think she went to meet some guy.
You're out of your mind.
Take a look at this.
Arlo brings up pictures of Dana with Kevin.
Who is he?
I checked with the gate. They said his name's Kevin Wade. Identified himself as a friend.
Okay. So he's a friend.
Arlo pulls a wry face and then shows the picture of Kevin holding Dana's chin. He looks askance at Ortiz, whose expression darkens.
Cole. Bazaev's given up the location of the nuclear rods. I've already scrambled a nest team. Meet your tactical unit at the helipad. The coordinates will be relayed to you en route.
Yes, sir. You think you can find her?
I could if all the drones weren't already committed.
What about Seltres? Just do it.
Arlo raises an eyebrow but gets down to work. Ortiz moves off to a corridor and makes a call to Dana. Onto Dana's phone screen comes the ident Cole. She presses the red and slips the phone into her bag next to her pistol. She is sitting in a booth at the sleazy pole dance bar where Kevin and Nick are sitting festooned with hookers and literally throwing their money around. She stares darkly out at the pair. At CTU, Ortiz speaks into his phone.
I don't know where you are, what you're doing, Dana. But I need you to call me as soon as you get this. It's important. I love you.
Ortiz gets into the lift with several TAC team members. He adjusts the bulletproof vest of a young trooper.
Thank you, sir. Sorry.
Don't worry about it.
Ortiz stands pensively as the lift goes down. 11:50, end of part three. Part four, 11:54. Kyla walks along a corridor towards a knot of her father's security men.
Is Kyla? No.
Get out of my way, Nabil. I want to see him.
Your father forbids it. I'm sorry. I'm just doing my job.
A job that Taran gave you. He brought you into my father's security detail, and this is how you repay him? You're his friend, Nabil. You know he's innocent.
What would you have me do?
Just let me speak to him. A few minutes is all I ask.
I can't let you in now. Taran's going to be ready for transport to our embassy in an hour. I will find the moment you can see him before then.
Thank you, Nabil.
Now go, before we're both in trouble.
Kyla walks away with a triumphant spring in her step. At CTU.
Cole, the Nest team's ETA is 2 minutes from target site. Now, the hazmat crew will wait for your signal to move in. Be advised, the truck with the fuel rods is being guarded by two armed hostiles.
Man, we have an immunity deal with their boss. Why haven't they been ordered to stand down?
Well, Jack's understanding is that these men are hard cases. They won't roll over easily, and we cannot take the risk that they'll flee with the rods.
Understood.
Now, when you secure the nuclear materials, you transport them to Fort Hamilton. We're clearing that air corridor as we speak.
Command, we see the truck, but there's no sign of hostiles. Approaching the way station now. Stand by. Set us down there.
11:56. The CTU helicopter dusts down in the truck stop where the large white truck is parked up. Backup SUVs arrive on the scene. The young trooper, whose vest Ortiz adjusted, sits looking nervous in the helicopter. The armed TAC team spreads out across the truck stop to surround the suspect vehicle. Ortiz moves cautiously around to the rear of the truck.
Picking up trace radiation. 30 millirads to take.
Go, go, move it!
One of the team opens the rear doors of the truck. Inside, both Bazeev's men lie sprawled dead, riddled with bullets. The large wooden case stands open. One of the CTU men enters to do a sweep. All that remains in the packing case is the padding.
We're clear.
Ortiz climbs up into the rear of the truck and peers into the crate.
Command, are you seeing this?
I am. Where the hell are the rods?
We picked up trace radiation signatures. The rods were here. Right now, all we have are two bodies, both shot.
Hey, Agent Ortiz?
One of the team unhooks Oleg's crucifix, which has been hung on the door as if as a signature message. Bazeev sits ponderously. Rob Weiss sits fretting. Taryn waits patiently as Nabil talks to another man. Kevin and Nick stumble from the club in the company of a blonde and brunette. Dana observes them in a car wing mirror. Dana pulls out her gun. Jack walks into the restaurant dining room, pulling out his phone.
It's Bauer.
It's Hastings. Our team's at the truck stop. The nuclear rods are not there.
What? Hold on. Say that again.
I said the rods are not there.
That's not possible. Did your men go to the right place?
They went exactly where you sent them. Now stop playing games and tell us where the rods are.
I told you. They were there. I had two of my men guarding them.
We found their bodies, both shot. And there was something else. Some kind of necklace hanging on the inside of the truck's door, like someone wanted to send a message.
What kind of a necklace?
A gold cross.
What does that mean?
Joseph.
Joseph calls Farhad as he drives.
I have the fuel rods.
Really? I wasn't sure I believed, Joseph, that you would betray your father.
You were upset that he was holding up delivery of the rods. Now I've gotten them for you. It won't take him long to realize what's happened, so let's get this done fast.
You're worried he'll discover you've replaced him as our partner?
No. I want my father to know. In fact, I made sure he will.
When will you get here?
Less than 5 minutes. Just have my money ready.
In the rear of Joseph's vehicle sits a shiny metal packing case. 12 midnight. The end.